So today we are reading from the new chapter, which is chapter 10, the battle between the demigods and the demons. Are you ready for some action? This is an action-packed chapter. Huh? Those of us who like to have, you know, this excitement of battle, fighting and, you know, arms and ammunition and this and that, you know, this chapter is full of it. You know, we think that, you know, today's movies, you know, they have all this. But it's all there in Srimad Bhagavatam. And much, much better than what we can even think, you know, through movies and all that. So get ready for an action-packed adventure. The battle between the demigods and the demons. Thanks to Srila Prabhupada, we have all this wonderful, wonderful literature, which is Amala Puran. Pure literature of Srimad Bhagavatam. The summary of chapter 10 is as follows. Because of envy, the fight between the demons and the demigods continued. If you remember, Mohini Murthy had just delivered the nectar and all the demigods got it and the poor demons got nothing. When the demigods were almost defeated by demoniac maneuvers and became morose, Lord Vishnu appeared among them. So the fighting continued. It didn't stop. And again, the demigods had to take shelter of Lord Vishnu. Both the demigods and the demons are expert in activities involving the material energy. But the demigods are devotees of the Lord, whereas the demons are just the opposite. The demigods and demons churned the ocean of milk to get nectar from it. But the demons, not being devotees of the Lord, could derive no profit. After feeding nectar to the demigods, Lord Vishnu returned to his abode on the back of Garuda. But the demons, being most aggrieved, again declared war against the demigods. Bali Maharaj, the son of Virochana, became the commander-in-chief of the demons. In the beginning of the battle, the demigods prepared to defeat the demons. Indra, the king of heaven, fought with Bali, and other demigods like Vayu, Agni and Varun fought against other leaders of the demons. In this fight, the demons were defeated, and to save themselves from death, they began to manifest many illusions through material maneuvers, killing many soldiers on the side of the demigods. The demigods, finding no other recourse, surrendered again to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who then appeared and counteracted all the illusions presented by the jugglery of the demons. Heroes among the demons, such as Kalanimi, Mali, Sumali, and Malyavan, fought the Supreme Personality of Godhead and were all killed by the Lord. The demigods were thus freed from all dangers. Text number 1. And we'll just read all the way till 6 because none of them have purports, so I'll just read them. Sri Shuka Uvacha Iti Danava Daiteya Navindan Amritam Nripa Yukta Karmani Yattascha Vasudeva Paran Mukaha. Translation and purport. Translations by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sukadev Goswami said, O King, the demons and daityas all engaged with full attention and effort in churning the ocean. But because they were not devotees of Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, they were not able to drink the nectar. Text 2. Sadhayitvamritam rajan payayitva svakansuran Pashyatam sarva bhutanam yayau garuda vahanaha. O King, after the Supreme Personality of Godhead had brought to completion the affairs of churning the ocean and feeding the nectar to the demigods, who are his dear devotees, he left the presence of them all and was carried by Garuda to his own abode. Sapatnanam paramriddhim drishtva te diti nandanaha amrishyamana utpetur devan pratyudyaya dyaya taya yuddha. Seeing the victory of the demigods, the demons became intolerant of their superior opulence. Thus, they began to march towards the demigods with raised weapons. Tada suragana sarve suddhaya pitayai dittaha pratisamyuyuddhu shastrair narayana padashrayaha. Thereafter, being enlivened because of drinking the nectar, the demigods, who are always at the shelter of the lotus feet of Narayan, use their various weapons to counter-attack the demons in a fighting spirit. Here it begins, the battle begins. Tatra daiva suro nama rana paramadarunaha rodasi udanvato rajam tumulo roma harshanaha. O king, a fierce battle on the beach of the ocean of milk ensued between the demigods and the demons. The fighting was so terrible that simply hearing about it, would make the hair on one's body stand on end. Text number 6. And you can repeat this after me because this has a purport. Tatranyonyam sapatnaste samrabdha manasorane samasadhyasi bhirbanair nijagnur vividha yudhaihi. Tatra, thereupon, anyonyam, one another, sapatnaha, all of them becoming fighters, they, samrabdha, very angry, manasa, within their minds, Rane, in that battle, Samasadhya, getting the opportunity to fight between themselves, Asibhi, with swords, Banai, with arrows, Nijagnu, began to beat one another, Vividha Ayudhaihi, with varieties of weapons. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Both parties in that fight were extremely angry at heart, and in enmity they beat one another with swords, arrows, and varieties of other weapons. Purport. There are always two kinds of men in this universe, not only on this planet, but also in higher planetary systems. All the kings dominating planets like the sun and moon also have enemies like Rahu. It is because of occasional attacks upon the sun and moon by Rahu that eclipses take place. The fighting between the demons and demigods is perpetual. It cannot be stopped unless intelligent persons from both sides take to Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada, at various points, in various situations, has explained to us over and over and over again that there is this perpetual fight going on between the demigods and the demons, between the suras or the demigods and the demons called the asuras. So who are the suras? The suras are followers or devotees of the Lord. And the asuras are those who are against the will of the Lord. They're against the plan of the Lord. They're against the injunctions of his orders of the scriptures. And they're constantly giving trouble to others and they are giving trouble to themselves also in the bargain. And this is going on everywhere in the material universe. Because the material universe is populated by those who are rebellious against the Lord, and that is how they have come down away from the spiritual world to the material world. So you see, here we are trying to be good servants of the Lord, but we have demoniac qualities too. We are a mixture of Asuric and Suric qualities. And so we are in the process of getting purified. But at least we are trying to follow. At least we are trying to follow the injunctions of the Shastras. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. This is the way we follow. But the demons do not want to admit that there is a God in the first place. What to speak of following Him? So, Srila Prabhupada, in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he says to us very, very clearly what the demons are really like. You want to hear? Maybe we'll recognize some qualities. But here we go. It's a very famous verse called Pravrittim Cha Nivrittim Cha verse. Okay, we are on 16:7. In case any of you would like to follow, we are on verse 16:7, which goes this way. Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha janana vidur asuraha na shaucham napi chacharo na satyam teshu vidyate. What does this mean? Those who are demoniac do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Neither cleanliness nor proper behavior nor truth is found in them. And so nicely Prabhupada describes in the purport how there are rules and regulation for civilized living. In every civilized human society, there is some set of scriptural rules and regulations which is followed. Especially among Aryans, those who adopt the Vedic civilization and who are known as the most advanced civilized people, those who do not follow the scriptural injunctions are supposed to be demons. Therefore, it is stated here that demons do not know the scriptural rules, nor do they have any inclination to follow. Most of them do not know them. And even if some of them know, they have not the tendency to follow them. They have no faith, nor are they willing to act in terms of the Vedic injunctions. The demons are not clean, either externally or internally. One should always be careful to keep his body clean by bathing, brushing teeth, shaving, changing clothes, etc. As far as internal cleanliness, one should always remember the holy names of God and chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The demons neither like nor follow these rules for external and internal cleanliness. As for behavior, there are many rules and regulations guiding human behavior, such as Manu Samhita, which is the law for the human race. Even up to today, those who are Hindu follow the Manu Samhita. Laws of inheritance and other legalities are derived from this book. Now, it is clearly stated in Manu Samhita that a woman should not be given freedom. That does not mean that women are to be kept as slaves, but they are like children. Children are not given freedom, but that does not mean they are kept as slaves. The demons have now neglected such injunctions. They think that women should be given as much freedom as men. However, this has not improved the social condition of the world. Actually, a woman should be given protection at every stage of life. She should be given protection by the father in her younger days, by the husband in her youth, and by the grown-up sons in her old age. This is proper behavior. But what has modern education done? Artificially devised, puffed-up concept of womanly life, and therefore marriage is practically now an imagination in human society. The social condition of women is thus not very good now, although those who are married are in a better condition than those who are proclaiming their so-called freedom. The demons therefore do not accept any instruction which is good for society, and because they do not follow the experience of great sages and the rules and regulations, the social condition of demoniac people is very miserable. So here we are in Kali Yuga with all the problems that come about by not following the laws of God as they are given. We must understand that all these rules and regulations are actually for our protection, for our betterment, for our progress in Krishna consciousness to the lotus feet of the Lord. And there is a system to be followed. You know, women, we don't like hearing these things, but actually we need to read, understand and apply these things, because these are the things which will keep us rightly situated and protected on the path of bhakti. Srila Prabhupada says 5 classes need protection. Why? Because they are vulnerable. Women, children, old people, cows and brahmanas. They are vulnerable sections of society and they need all protection. We are up in arms when we hear such things, those of us in female bodies. But if you really take a very deep look at society, you can easily understand. Even in Mayapur, the holiest of holy places, I used to receive emails. Mataji's, please be careful. Don't go late at night to this particular place. There have been incidents. There have been this. It's very obvious. Look at a woman's physique. She can easily be overpowered by a man. What chance does a woman have against a strong, even just an ordinary man? Because physically, God, Krishna has designed a man's body and a woman's body for different functions. A man is naturally physically stronger than a woman and she can be easily overpowered. This stands to reason, isn't it? All of us have experienced when we go into certain places which are, you know, unfriendly neighborhoods or in we don't know the area or locality, we naturally feel a sort of uneasiness and fear. Why? Because we know we are vulnerable. So women need protection in all ways, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, because they are dependent on the men, on the leaders of their homes first, and then the community and the society and the nation and so on. Similarly, children need protection because they are vulnerable. Cows, brahmanas and old people. Old people are like children again. They become dependent. They are fragile. Their health sometimes is not very good. They need protection too. So the suras are the ones who will bring back sanity to society by following the laws of God. Does this mean that asuras can never become suras? Certainly not. Srila Prabhupada says very clearly the asuras can also become suras, and he said this movement is for making the asuras into suras. So here we are all trying to become suras. How do we do that? Follow the process. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the most wonderful gift which has come from the spiritual world. Golokera Prema Dhana, Hari Naam Sankirtana. Gift of love that has come from the spiritual world to save us and to bring us back to the right path, to move us from the modes of ignorance and passion to at least the mode of goodness. And it is only from the mode of goodness that we can actually begin devotional service and then move to transcendence. It's not so easy to jump. So we have to progress gradually, step by step, step by step. Get rid of our anarthas. Get rid of the 6 enemies that are constantly waiting to overpower us. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, envy, just waiting to capture us. But we can remain protected from the material energy by taking shelter of the spiritual energy. And when we go after Krishna, Krishna gives us all protection from all the attacks, from all the difficulties, from all the problems. Or even if we have them, he minimizes them. He makes them very small compared to what we actually should be getting because of our bad karma. So devotee patiently tolerates everything that happens, saying, Krishna, you're in control. I know whatever is happening by your will. Because not even one blade of grass stirs without the sanction of the Lord. So do you think Krishna doesn't know what is going on with you? Of course not. He's omniscient. He knows everything. And so he's designed this particular set of circumstances to purify us. We may think, oh my God, why is this happening? I never thought this would happen to me. I did not expect this. Why is this happening? Why is it happening? Because Krishna wants it to happen. Krishna wants you to learn the lessons and get purified and come out on the other side. And when we are going through that, it's like swallowing a bitter pill. But once we come out of it, we say, thank you, Krishna. Now I've got rid of all my anarthas, all my attachments, all my unnecessary entanglements, and you have brought me to a better place. Krishna always does what is good for his devotee. So even when we are going through a difficulty, we should be totally confident and totally reassured that when we come out, we will be better and more purified than we were before we went through that difficulty or experience. And I'm sure you must have heard many stories from many of the senior devotees like this, saying, don't worry, this will pass and you will come out of it much better. You must have heard like this, right? So we can be very confident that on the path of Krishna consciousness, Krishna is there and he will give all protection. Sometimes we may think, oh, I've taken to bhakti yoga. What do I have to show for it? I don't have a house. I don't have a car. I don't have a swimming pool. I don't have a husband. I don't have a wife. I don't have a bank balance. I don't have this. I don't have that. We may think like this. The thing is, Krishna, if he chooses, he will give you all this and more if it's necessary for your devotional service. But if it's not needed, Krishna doesn't want you getting entangled in things that are going to come in the way of your coming back to him. Because Krishna wants us back more than we want to go back. This is the thing. Because we think, since we have been so long in this material world, we think, I'm okay, I'm fine, I'm good, I can do it, I can make it, I'm well situated. We think like this. But even Indra, when he became a pig, that's what he thought, right? I like to be here, this is fine, I've got my family, I've got my pigs and my piglets and my grand piglets, I'll be fine. And then Brahma said, nothing doing, you have to come back. So we are like this, we want to remain in the mire of material existence, but Krishna jogs us along saying, come on, hurry up. So if we are sincere, we'll say the prayer of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Do you want to hear? You want to hear this prayer of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj? You know the prayer? It's a very famous one. He prayed, oh my dear Lord Krishna, let everything that will enhance my devotional service, let it come. And let everything that is a block and an obstacle to my developing my pure devotional service to you, take it away. It's a very brave prayer. You know, we should really be ready because Krishna will start taking away things from us. And some things we might say, no, Krishna, not this one. No, Krishna, no, let me hold on to this. But Krishna says, no, you don't need this. And it's gone. And we are not ready for that sometimes. You know, when Krishna rips out things out of our life, we are taken by surprise or we are lamenting and we are crying and moaning and weeping. But Krishna is doing surgery. And that surgery will make you better. It'll pull you out of deep attachments that are blocking your advancement in Krishna consciousness. And when finally it is over and you say, thank you, Krishna. Thank you for what you did. We don't realize it when it's happening, but it's actually to pull us up to a higher level in our path of bhakti. So we want to give up our asuric tendencies. We want to give up selfishness and greed and anger and lust and illusion and all those nasty things. Jai Panchatattva Bhagwan ki Jai. which are creating such a disturbance in our lives and disturbance to the lives of others. We want to come to the mode of goodness so that we can actually do some good for ourselves and good for others. And the path of bhakti is the fast track. This is the best way to become situated in the mode of goodness and then move to the mode of transcendence. We want to become better, isn't it? So we accept whatever merciful punishment Krishna is giving and saying, okay Krishna, this is very difficult, but you have a plan for my life. You have a purpose for me to go through this. I have faith that through this experience, I will become a better devotee. So I humbly submit to whatever punishment you are giving me, knowing that you are in control. And my only job is to surrender and to serve. And Krishna promises, Tesham satata yukta nam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. And Krishna says, you do these four things. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam evaishasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage to me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. So Krishna doesn't want us to keep rotting in this material world. And therefore he came as Lord Chaitanya. He said these people are just fools and rascals. They are not capable of anything. Let me make it easy. Let them sing, let them dance, let them take prasadam and let them come back to me. He made it so simple. I never tire of saying this. This is so easy, so simple, so sublime. We can miss it because it's so simple. Because with our Kali Yuga brains, we like complicated things. But Krishna has made it very, very simple. Chant the holy names. Partake of Krishna prasadam. Engage in devotional service. And you will come back to me without fail. It's very important to follow the program. It's right from Mangalarti to the evening. We have all these wonderful programs given by Srila Prabhupada. Why? Because Srila Prabhupada knows our Kali Yuga mentality. And we need all these things. You know, Guru Puja usually was done only on the Vyasa Puja day of the spiritual master. But Srila Prabhupada, understanding our mentality, said, you do Guru Puja every day because you need it. You need to meditate on the lotus feet of the spiritual master. You need to be praying to him constantly because through the spiritual master only and his mercy, we can get to Krishna. The lotus feet of our spiritual master are the abode of pure devotional service. We sing this in Guru Vandanam, isn't it? We start with Guru Vashtakam. In fact, the Mangalarti prayers are so special that it is said anyone who daily, regularly, constantly engages in Mangalarti and chants the Guru Vashtakam loudly every day is guaranteed to go back home, back to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Yes. Isn't that wonderful? Just by taking part in Mangalarti, constantly, regularly, without fail, every day, we can go back home, back to Godhead. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. So, Srila Prabhupada has given us all these programs. Why? For our purification, for our protection, and for the ultimate benefit of going back home to Krishna. Now, of course, some people say, oh, we should, you know, say what Krishna, whatever you desire, whether you keep me here or keep me in the hellish planets or keep me in heavenly planets, you know, whatever it is, Well, I can honestly tell you, I'm not there yet. I'm simply saying, take me back, Krishna. Take me back to Godhead. This is hellish enough for me here. So, but of course, a higher principle is, and very exalted devotees can pray like this. I'm simply praying, Krishna, please let me come back home. That's all. But ultimately we surrender and say, okay, Krishna, whatever you want, I'm willing to accept. But that's a higher principle. And Srila Prabhupada did say this. You should desire to go back home to Godhead. He said that. So it's a legitimate desire. So our tendencies are asuric. Why? We are in Kali Yuga. This is the most degraded age. Age of quarrel and hypocrisy. And we have taken birth in this age. We didn't take birth in Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga. We are in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga, folks, is the most difficult, most degraded age. But here we are. But there is one golden feature, one redeeming feature about this age. Lord Chaitanya has come and he has started this Harinam Sankirtan movement, which is a prime benediction for humanity at large, because it pulls you out of the repeated cycle of birth and death. It places us on the road back home, back to him. This is the great benediction in this age of Kali. And as Srila Prabhupada said, this movement will last for 10,000 years. After this, no Hare Krishna. It's all Kali Yuga, full force. And devotees will have to flee to mountain caves to hide from the demoniac, tyrannical government, which will come. Actually, you know, thieves and brigands and dacoits will be the people in charge, if they are not already. And they will tax the people to death. So just to escape the tyranny, devotees will have to flee into remote mountain caves, forests, just to practice Krishna, just to survive. Just to practice Krishna consciousness and just to survive from the tyranny of the government. So we don't want to hang around that long. Please, let's all go back home. And the only way we can do that is by following the instructions of Prabhupada to the letter. Srila Prabhupada has already warned us, one day these cities will collapse. There will be no more cities, because all the infrastructure which is based on greed and exploitation and oil and all industry and mining and mining and mining and drilling and drilling and drilling can't go on forever. It's going to come to a halt. It's already running out. So it is imperative, it is very urgent for us to build farm communities, protect mother cow, till the land with father bull, and learn to move to a simple, natural way of living that is sustainable. Our present civilization is not sustainable. It is not going to hold up for long. It's already collapsing. We can see what is happening. So each of us must start meditating and trying to implement in some small way Srila Prabhupada's instruction to protect mother cow, to protect father bull, to move to the simple way of living, move to farm communities and begin to practice the Vedic style of living, which is the only sustainable way of living for mankind. Today is Gopashtami. It's such an auspicious day for us to, you know, think about these things and start planning, because we never know when the things will become very, very bad and we will have to leave to a farm community. And Srila Prabhupada said the deities will come in the dreams of the pujaris in the city temples to warn them, saying, time to pack up and go. But if there's no farm community to go to, where will we pack up and go? We need to have those things now. And you all are very nicely situated in this country, Slovenia, because you have a history. I'm very sure that, you know, Slovenia, like many other countries, has had generations of people growing things on the land. I think this place is famous for vineyards, right? Grapes and fruits and so many different things. So we have to understand that this is the real wealth, what Mother Earth gives us, the bounty of her produce in the form of fruits and vegetables and grains, and Mother Cow in the form of milk. Srila Prabhupada said we can make hundreds of milk products. So many nice things can be made. So what we need? We need simple, healthy food. We need clean, fresh air. We need pure water. We need good relationships. We need loving relationships to sustain us for the long haul. And we have that beautifully in our ISKCON movement, where everyone has an ashram and can stay protected. Whether you're single, whether you're married, it doesn't matter, because there's protection in the community of Vaishnavas. And we can make nice progress by following the instructions of Prabhupada, and we can ultimately go back home, back to Krishna. So thank you very much for listening patiently. We can open up for comments, questions. Hare Krishna.